Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we finish off Super Wild Card Weekend. Rams kicked the shit out of the Cardinals. We have some hot seat, cool throne. We have Braxton Berrios, all pro. Braxton Berrios in studio.
Super Bowl champion,
Braxton Berrios. It's always fun to have someone come in studio, so it's great to catch up with him. Great interview. Very cool guy. And then we finish with FAQs. That was the question. That was the first
FAQ. We're finishing off with FAQs. A lot of hot questions coming through today.
FAQs. All right, before we get to all of that, whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com right now. Enter code PMT, and you get a free whistle football with your Bird Dogs purchase. Today is Wednesday, January 19th, and the Arizona Cardinals are frauds.
Absolute frauds. They made me so mad watching that game.
Terrible.
I was offended watching the Cardinals last night. I think everybody who's a sports fan has a right to be pissed off at the Cardinals.
I was so mad at myself because everyone does this when watching sports or gambling on sports. You have an opinion, you have a strong opinion, and then at the very last second, you go against your strong opinion for no real good reason. This podcast has been forefront in the Arizona Cardinals are frauds for the better half of 2 months now. Mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury fades down the stretch. Kyler Murray, you want to say he's injured, whatever, I don't care. They're just not a like upper echelon football team. And then right before, I was like, ooh, these teams know each other, 3.5 points. The road team won both games this year. This one's going to be tight. And it was instant. You knew instantly that the Cardinals were going to get their asses kicked. And then we had the beautiful Kyler Murray, Carson Wentz play where I don't know what the fuck he was thinking.
He was about to take a safety. Well, the thing is, like, it was bad that he threw it away, that he threw that interception. That's really bad. The worst part of that play is that he spent about 4.5 seconds in the end zone just hanging out.
Yes.
Hoping that nothing bad was going to happen to him. Then he feels the heat on his back. And by the way, Kyler Murray's gotten slower. He was getting chased down by linebackers.
So he might be injured.
He might be injured, but he was getting chased down from behind by guys that were about 150 pounds heavier than him on a regular basis. Maybe not 100, but like 100 pounds heavier.
He's also gotten softer. He blocked me on Twitter. I also saw that he blocked Greg McElroy on Twitter, so I think he just left the game and started blocking people. I didn't at him.
And he's gotten slower, too.
Yes.
He's gotten slower, softer, and shorter.
Yes, all the bad things. Yeah. Probably doesn't. I'll just say it. It's if it were someone that I would want to have on the show, I would have not tweeted that they blocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Kyler Murray, that Dan Patrick interview. I'm okay with him not coming on the show.
Didn't we have Kyler Murray lined up for an interview at a Super Bowl, and it was right after he did the Dan Patrick interview?
Yeah.
And then I think his agent was like, you know what, Kyler's
We're
tired
not ready.
Right now.
We're not ready.
So I just pulled up his profile. He does not block me, but Jake was saying that we should compile an all-blocked list.
Yes.
Like the best players at each position for Part of My Take overall. So far we have Kyler Murray as QB1, mm-hmm. now that Big Ben doesn't block us anymore.
Correct.
Antonio Brown at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
OJ at running back.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Any notable blocks out there?
We probably should have done some research before we did this. That was stupid.
Not one that comes off the top. Sorry.
No.
I'm sorry for being stupid.
I'm not blaming you. It's just we have three that we know of.
That's a good start, though.
That's all block list.
That's a good start.
I wouldn't even know how to figure out.
You know,
I got tagged in a tweet and I looked at his profile this morning. I was like, wait, he blocks me? And then the Greg McElroy thing makes me think that he literally got home last night. I'm going to give Kyler an out. I'm going to give him a very easy out. It feels like maybe his dad runs his Twitter account for him and was maybe just watching the game and watching everyone just shit on him. And I didn't at him. It wasn't like targeted harassment. I just simply asked the question, is he okay? Does he have eyeballs? Because there was moments in the game last night where it felt like I don't know what was going on. He looked drunk.
It was bad. The entire offense looked out of sync. Even on the plays where Kyler Murray was escaping from pressure and finding a guy like 7-8 yards running open downfield, if he was able to hit him in stride, the receiver was just dropping it.
And
it reminded me so much of those teams that you see where like the only explanation for why things go bad is that somebody had sex with somebody else's girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
Was it the 98 U.S. World Cup team?
Yes.
And then ever since that happened, that rumor gets brought up every time a team starts to suck. Maybe Cliff was sleeping with somebody because like the entire team looked like they just didn't want to be. The only person who looked like they wanted to be there was probably, it was a kicker.
Yeah.
Huffing those smelling
salts. Matt Prater, legend. Kicking that extra, that 55-yarder that was a very sad field goal. It was so bad that I actually said to myself, the Cardinals are so bad tonight, not even Matt Stafford can fuck this up. You know what I mean? Because if you're a Rams fan, what are you doing when you're going into the playoffs? You're like, we have everything. We have all the skill positions. Cam Akers is back. Aaron Donald is going to wreck games. It essentially just comes down to, will Matt Stafford blow it in a big moment? If he doesn't, you could win the Super Bowl. If he does, you're screwed. And it got so, like, I'm not even saying when it was whatever it was, the score was, 21? Was it 28-0? Yeah. I'm not even saying then. I'm saying when it was 14-0. I was like, the Cardinals are so bad that Matt Stafford cannot screw this up. He's going to get his first playoff win. And I don't know what you do if you're a Cardinals, like, going forward. It's very hard to, like, make a big change because you made the playoffs. There was a point in time in this season that you were the best team in the football. But, man, there's a lot of questions with Cliff Kingsbury. I actually threw this out there today, PFT. I want to hear what you have to say. I would be more confident if I were a Cardinals or a Cowboys fan if our defensive coordinator was the head coach and not the head coach.
Okay, so I was actually just about to say, when you were like, how do you fix this team? I think that this is the type of team that you do the thing where you hire a Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Where you go with a defensive coordinator.
Fangio's has been great.
Yeah. You hire a defensive guy, you zig while everybody else zags. You can't, like, rebuild by hiring a great defensive mind. That just doesn't work.
I just don't understand.
Because you need a quarterback to take you to the next level. Your offense is awesome once you have Hopkins still out there.
Yeah.
And everybody's healthy.
But
your offense is going to be fine, I think, as long as you have an average offensive coordinator. If you have, like, a defensive mastermind leading that team, I think that's the way that you got to go. You hire somebody that maybe you hire Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I just it feels like every time the Cardinals, they are very reminiscent of like watching a triple option offense, in that you know within the first 5 minutes, is this going to work or is it not? And like the Cardinals, you know, like, is their offense going to work tonight or is it not? And then they just don't change it. You know, like, it felt like they couldn't block anyone, and then they just kept on having Kyler drop back and throw it deep. And it was like, every time you do this, it ends up in disaster.
Yeah, I'm going to be the body language police on Kyler Murray. Don't like the body language.
Well, did you see
the bad body? He looks like he's on sedatives when he goes on the sidelines. He's not talking to anybody. He's not screaming at anybody. They always say, like, you want a guy that'll grab somebody by the face mask. I think that's a little bit aggressive. I don't think you have to grab a guy by his face mask all the time. But Kyler's just like, he's a loner on the sidelines, which is fine if you're a punter or a kicker or, you know, a nerd that nobody's supposed to care about.
So Jeremy Fowler on ESPN said that he actually said before the game, he said, talk to a veteran Seahawks player who said he didn't like Arizona this week because the Cardinals had bad body language in the Seattle game.
There we go.
Cardinals loaded up on veteran leaders to instill toughness, but it's not enough.
There we go. I actually think that there is something to the body language experts out there,
yeah,
that are able to read that. Like, you can have certain players. I think the list of players that it's okay for them to have bad body language or to not talk to people on the sidelines, it would be a kicker, a punter, or like a psycho linebacker nobody talks to because they're afraid they're going to get murdered.
Like, don't talk to Ngama Dosu.
Yeah, don't talk to James Harrison on the sidelines because he'll rip out one of his acupuncture needles and brain you with it.
Right, and Ngama Dosu will step on your throat or your hand and say it was an accident.
Yeah, Aaron Donald will choke you.
Yeah,
which
Aaron
by
Donald
the way,
punched the guy.
Aaron Donald punched and choked.
Yes, he's in playoff mode. He's in beast mode. It feels like
Gremlin
every playoffs
mode.
He just. He's like, I'm just going to start punching people.
Yeah.
Fucking them up.
I do think that we should acknowledge Matt Stafford, though, for not fucking it up.
Yeah, no, he deserves credit for that.
He could have fucked it up, but they made it very tough on him to do that. The monkey is off the back of Matt Stafford right now.
And they won a game where Cooper Kupp wasn't, like, exceptional. You know what I mean? Cooper Kupp didn't have an insane night like he's had this season. And Odell, Higby, and Cam Akers, Cam Akers coming back in 5 months from an Achilles is crazy.
Have we figured that out? Was it a partially torn Achilles? Because 5 months, it was like 175 days since he tore it. That's way more impressive than J.J. Watt coming back in 12 weeks with a torn labrum.
And he wasn't fully healthy, yeah.
No,
I mean,
it was very
obvious that he wasn't fully healthy.
Now that we're a bonk-free zone on this podcast, I can admit.
Let your freak flag fly.
Yeah, let it all hang out. I had like the same injury that J.J. Watt had. Back in 2011, I got surgery on it and everything. 12 weeks after I had the surgery, I couldn't even jack off.
Mm.
And he's out there in an NFL game. Mm-hmm. Like runner. There's no way that he was 100%. Granted, I think he
has
better.
Can you just switch hands?
I think he, what, go with a stranger?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not the same.
I mean, you definitely did.
It's not, no.
You just didn't jerk off for 12 weeks.
Correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No nut.
Okay.
Whatever month
that
it was.
There's just no way.
Yeah.
No nut autumn. Billy, as pro,
that's like a
as bro football doc.
Scratch.
As bro football doc, what's the status of Cam Akers' Achilles? How is he able to come back so quick?
Dude, I don't know what these guys are doing nowadays, but modern science has it down to a T. HGH.
I don't think it was anything special. I don't think he was healthy. Like I don't think he was.
No, I meant Cam Akers.
Oh, Cam Akers. Because
he looked really healthy.
JJ Watt was not. So you think Cam Akers did HGH?
I think they're all doing HGH.
Got it.
Okay. But it was really impressive watching him be able to. He had that burst.
Yeah,
he looked like
did.
A
He's,
very good.
He said he felt like great again.
Yeah, playoff Cam.
It's crazy. And now we're set. That was not the best super wild card weekend, I think we can all say. There was one close game that was a ref show, four blowouts, and one close game that was close because both teams just didn't want to win.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a memorable, oh my God, that game was awesome, like, I'm glued to my TV type of game.
I have a question for all the AWLs out there, because I haven't gotten a satisfactory answer on this yet, but I noticed Cam Akers had the same almost towel hanging out from his backside that Kyle Juszczyk had for the 49ers. It's like a skinny towel that it looks like he cut up himself. It doesn't really serve any purpose. It's not a strap for his uniform, for his pads or anything like that. It just hangs out the back. And we were talking about Juszczyk's on the stream on Sunday. It's almost like a decoy for somebody to reach out there.
I think it is.
And try to tackle.
It's
a lizard
flag.
Tail.
It's a flag.
That comes off and you're able to run away with it.
Speaking of which, I can't get enough of the stretchy shirts. It's so cool when that happens. When a guy's just, when they try to tackle a guy and he's 10 feet away from his shirt.
Yeah, the shirt like unravels as he's running away.
Yeah. It's just, cool. There's probably some type of shirt technology they're using as well.
Yeah.
Anti-tackle shirt technology.
Shout out also to OBJ's dad. Great job. Great father.
Yeah.
Getting him in a position that he can succeed. Like, I actually thought halfway through the season, why is Odell asking to be freed? We all did.
Yeah.
Because we saw him play in Cleveland, and it wasn't that he was playing well and Baker wasn't finding him. It was that he was just unable to catch the ball.
Yeah.
At times in Cleveland. And then he gets to L.A., and all of a sudden he's really, really good again.
I did see there were some people who were like, this just proves that it's all about fit in the NFL and, like, right place, right time, right teammates, scheme, everything. That is true to an extent. Odell also has, at times, not helped himself.
True.
And in terms of, like, teammate and, you know, whatever. So both things can be true at the same time. Odell was in the wrong fit, wrong scheme, wrong everything. But he also wasn't exactly like an A-plus model teammate at times.
Right. With Cliff Kingsbury, with the shine coming off the star of Cliff, as we've seen the last two winners in a row, do you think Ryan Russillo has to, like, eat his column?
He's probably down bad. He's probably down bad.
He probably stayed over at Ryan's house last night after the game.
He'll probably keep. You got to stay strong, I think. But between this and Chris Paul,
yeah,
who's a total choke artist,
they should just both live with Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, just keep. I think you just got to stick with it. You got to stick with it through thick and thin and hope that you come out the other side unscathed.
Blame
Kyler. That's what I would do. If I were still give any advice, blame Kyler, get blocked by Kyler, and then be like, free Cliff. Kyler, you can't win with Kyler.
Can you do that with a coach? Free Cliff, get him to a different situation?
Yes.
That's actually kind of how Cliff Kingsbury's entire career has gone, where he gets a job somewhere, performs mediocrely at it, and then fails upward into a much better job.
Correct.
So where do we need to get Cliff in a perfect position? I think he needs to go.
You know what he needs to do? Rodgers to Denver, Cliff to Denver.
He needs to coach
Aaron Rodgers, where he doesn't really have to coach.
Yeah, that would be a good fit for him.
No offense to Matt LaFleur, we like him.
I think that would be a good fit for Cliff if he were to just inherit
Aaron Rodgers'
best quarterback in the NFL.
Yes. All right, so divisional round set. Awesome game set. We will do a preview on Friday of all of those games. Before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne, I did want to make a quick announcement. I'm sorry to everyone here that people think a white guy can't enjoy black history.
Well, yeah, that was going to be on my hot seat.
But, I mean, Darren Revelle, maybe the greatest cell phone 24 hours of all time.
He's the least racist white person in history.
Well, he literally has a card. It's signed by Rosa Parks.
Yeah, it's like him and Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
When you think of white guys that are racist but not really racist.
So
it's Darren Revelle. He has an autographed NAACP Rosa Parks card.
Which is not autographed. It's literally you sign. It's like saying your driver's license is autographed.
Yeah, no, it's
not an autograph.
It's autographed.
Yeah.
He got it signed by her.
So for people who don't live online, this actually is a time that it's worth bringing him up because it's very, very funny. He has over 9 pieces of MLK memorabilia, which actually just means he has 10.
Yeah, over 9 was
over
the 9. Funniest way
over 9. And he showed it off on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and everyone's like, dude, this is kind of weird, because one of the pieces was a log from when Martin Luther King Jr. was in jail, and he had to sign the log
to receive his mail.
And he's like, look how cool this is. And everyone's like, that's kind of weird, dude, when he was like, wrongfully imprisoned, and now...
And they're telling him to donate it.
And they're telling him to donate it, and then he said...
He should donate it.
And then he went even further, and he was like, well, I bought it from the warden of the jail, which is like, that's even more exploitative. And then he tweeted and deleted that you can't call him racist because he owns an extensive Martin Luther... Some of his best memorabilia is black, and also he has black friends.
He has several black friends.
Yes.
He has... Upward over
capitalized black.
Yes, he has over 9 black friends, according to Darren Revelle. It was so funny because then he hopped into the University of Miami Twitter Spaces and defended.
Let's play his
MLK collection.
Let's put it in.
Let's put it in right now.
Sure, I have over 9 MLK signed items. I am a humongous fan of what he's done, and over the last 7 years, I've collected a lot of things. It's not only MLK, it's a lot of black history. I own a Rosa Parks signed NAACP card. So it was pretty shocking today how I was called racist when I am a student and lover of black history. And it was I never expected the reaction that I got today. I'm sorry if people think that a white man can't enjoy black history.
All right.
I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry if people think that a white man can't love Martin Luther King. But to me, that seems pretty counterintuitive. You got me?
So, yeah. And then at the end, when he signs off, he goes... You got that?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay, Darren, we got that.
I can't understand.
He talks about his MLK merchandise like it's shoes. It's actually him being like, I got the largest collection of off-whites this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I bet you Darren Revelle has considered at least NFTing the I Have a Dream speech.
Of course.
You know what he'll do? He'll NFT the black square that people put on their Instagram when everybody did the media blackout last year. Darren Revelle will NFT that black square and then claim that he's their true leader of the modern civil rights movement.
I just want to know how, like, he's showing this. He feels comfortable showing this. He's definitely got some fucked up stuff.
Yes. He's like, have you seen American Beauty?
Yeah.
He's got some collections like that.
He's got like Muhammad Atta's cell phone.
Behind the
scenes. And he's like, well, it's just, he's an interesting person.
Yeah. On this day in history, American Airlines stock dropped 20%.
Yeah. Fuck, man. It's so weird because, you know, this is going to sound stupid because I'm basically admitting that I follow Darren Revelle on not one but two platforms, but I do follow him on Instagram. I remember last week he was like showing off one of his pieces of MLK memorabilia, and I remember thinking, oh, he's going to tweet about this on Monday and it's not going to go well. And then that exact same thing happened. So it's like it's almost a cell phone for myself where I'm like, I follow him on two platforms that I know when he's about to slip up, but him slipping up here was the most obvious thing of all time.
I don't follow him at all on anything because my life as it revolves around Darren Revelle is basically like,
well, you won't fight him.
Other people will tell me when Darren Revelle is fucking up. And by the way, the whole I will fight him. You guys talked me out of fighting him.
Well, I heard you wouldn't.
No, I won't. You personally told me don't fight him.
I heard you wouldn't. I said, I thought you said, I don't want to fight him because he probably could kick my ass.
You literally said, I don't want you to fight him because that's what Darren wants.
Yes, that's true.
I will fight Darren Revelle. I required no money to do it. If I beat him, Darren has to donate his entire MLK collection.
Won't happen.
All 10 pieces of
it.
And his autographed Rosa Parks NAACP rookie card.
He
has to donate it to the Smithsonian. I want no money. I just want to beat him and make American history a little bit better.
He actually has a card that if someone's like, hey, dude, you're racist, he's like, nope. Rosa Parks NAACP card right here.
Mint condition.
Like, I have it. It's an I'm not racist card.
Yeah.
This is going to sound crazy, and I'm sure I'll change my opinion in a week, but I actually, like, watching this all unfold, I think he actually is a net positive on society just because of how terribly out of touch and insanely hilarious his unintentional comedy is. He's actually reached a level where I enjoy him getting dunked on. He's Sean Bradley, who's, I think he got hit by a car, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably a bad reference to use. He's Bryant Reeves. There we go.
Yep. Or Rick Smits.
Yeah, he's Rick Smits. He gets dunked on for sport at this time.
Yeah.
At this point.
So I think it's just remarkable that Darren has been able to be consistent in this for his entire career. Like, he has not evolved. He has not changed a bit. Considering the amount of negative feedback that he's gotten whenever he fucks up, he just hasn't changed. He has not taken anything, and he has not learned any lessons online, and I think that's actually an admirable thing.
His brain can't compute. Like, he can't. I watched as people were trying to break it down for him, being like, you own a piece of history that shows, like, when Martin Luther King was in jail, it's not his autograph. He literally had to sign just to get correspondence. This should be in a museum. You own it, and you owned it to turn a profit one day, because that's what he does with all of his memorabilia.
He's gonna sell it.
It's fucked up. And he's like, no, I just love black history. I'm sorry that a white man can love Martin Luther King Jr.
And he was like, I just love everything that he's done. Well, oh yeah, name three of his speeches. But he did give us Jake, which is nice.
That's what I was going to say. I would not have a job here without him.
Yeah, so he's a net positive on society. I don't think he should, like, you know, there's no cancel Darren Revelle. I want him to just keep doing. I want him to keep living exactly how he thinks he should be living, because he's Sideshow Bob stepping on a rake. Like, every month he will do something.
Yeah, you guys brought me in to troll him, and here we are, almost 3 years later.
So we need to get Thurgood Marshall.
No, we should get Jake. We should get Jake to, like, collect, I don't know, maybe Jewish history, pieces of Jewish history that you can show off to him.
Work on it.
We need to get you to collect something rare that's like, what is this guy doing?
I'll think of something unique.
Very weird guy.
I'm just glad that he didn't go JFK.
He's definitely got some fucking bloodied, like, lapel.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is not, he felt comfortable showing this. He's got some fucked up stuff.
Very.
He has to.
Well, actually, I think Revelle might be so out of touch and clueless that he shows everything. It might be one of those what you see is what you get with Darren.
Yeah.
It's just shitty. Like, what you see is what you get, and it just happens to be what you get with Darren is just a clueless, out-of-touch weirdo.
He recently bought a Hugh Hefner Viagra bottle.
Prescription, right?
Yeah.
It was the pill bottle.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah. So, what a weird, weird guy. But I actually have come out on the other end where I'm like, I'm happy he exists because he provides unintentional comedy that you can't, like, no one else does what he does to that level. Like, last night was so funny watching him try to defend everyone. His defense was literally some of my best memorabilia is black.
Mm-hmm.
And he that's what he was yelling about.
It's black memorabilia that he's also holding hostage.
Yeah.
From American museums.
Are we sure that was actually him in the Twitter space last night?
Yes.
Billy, you think for an instant that if he had been going viral for his defense of his black memorabilia, you think that if that was a fake, Darren would have just sat back and not said anything?
Getting too woke is bad.
Yeah, he would have.
You're like, that's not really Darren Rebell.
He would have instantly been like, that's not me. I actually own over 20 pieces of MLK memorabilia.
Because it was so bad, I didn't believe it.
No,
it was one of those things where I had to walk it back.
That's what I'm saying. His unintentional comedy is off the charts. It's incredible at this point.
I hope he never stops.
Yeah, because
God damn. He still doesn't know that he did anything wrong.
At all. He's like, the internet's being mean to me again. Wait till I sell this bullet casing from Martin Luther King's assassination for $7 billion, and I'll be having the last laugh.
I have an autographed letter from the director of the FBI telling MLK to kill himself.
Yeah, yeah.
How can I be racist?
Yes, yes. This will someday pay for my kids' college. All right, let's get to Hot Seat Cool.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Oh.
Tough weekend if you're an Eagles fan. You guys got absolutely shit pumped in the playoffs. You're out. Tom Brady's your daddy. And then a video surfaced of...
You're addicted to developing enemies. Like, you can't go longer than...
This isn't a developing enemy.
Yeah, but you...
No,
but you're,
this is pre-existing.
But you're like, you're poking an open wound.
No, I have no choice. I have to just go with what happens in the world and comment on it on this podcast. It just so happened that this Eagles fan... was in, I believe it must have been Las Vegas.
Yes.
There was a Michael Jackson impersonator, and yes. The Eagles fan, as an Eagles fan does, picked a fight with him, started throwing punches at him out of nowhere.
As an Eagles fan.
And
does.
Then the Michael Jackson impersonator just absolutely beat the shit out of him, like,
he rear naked,
brought him to the ground,
yeah, rear naked choked him.
Which is just a funny visual because it's like Michael Jackson impersonator. Oh, boom, this guy should be in the UFC.
Do you think. People should respect the tap even in the wild, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The whole time I was watching that video. I was like, dude, tap. Just, bro, tap. Tap out. Tap out.
I think a guy like that who obviously had MMA training would have respected the tap in that situation. Because the guy took him down with the old, like, step around the back and then and then throw him, use your body as a lever. And then he positioned himself correctly. So, in his mind, Michael Jackson was in a UFC fight.
Yes.
That's as close as he'll ever get to the octagon. So, yeah, if you tap, I think he stands up, he goes back to his corner, moves on, you know?
Also, shout out that fan because... His shirt was incredible. It had two Eagles fans at a urinal pissing and then a Cowboys fan shitting in the urinal and said, can't fix stupid.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good
just,
burn.
That's just an old school, awesome rivalry burn.
Yep.
And then my cool throne, these jumpsuits, first of all, we're all wearing them. Me, PFT, Billy, Jake wearing the jumpsuits. We did a little photo shoot, posted some pictures. A lot of people were asking where we can get them. You can get them on the Barstool Sports store. And then my other cool throne is just humanity.
Mm.
Humanity. Well, not actually.
Except for Eagles fans. And Bills
and
fans.
And Elon Musk thinks that there's going to have a population collapse and the world's going to end soon.
Oh, sick.
All right. Yeah. Don't we need to kind of thin out the herd a little bit?
Damn.
A lot of stupid people out there running around that you can't fix.
Yeah, especially in Philadelphia.
Mm. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to go so hard on
for, Billy?
Eagles fans, but.
Now we're just going to make robots.
What?
Robots
are going to replace people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't there be a robot problem?
No.
I'd be fine with...
Darren Revelle would never get in trouble again on Twitter.
Well, yeah. I mean, Darren Revelle is a robot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He would literally, like, people would be like, king. Good point, Darren.
So, Hank, can you power rank your current rivalries you have going on right now between fan bases? Which ones are the meanest to you?
Eagles fans, for sure.
Yeah.
Are they the same as Sixers fans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Philadelphia as a whole.
As a whole, yeah.
Bills fans have been very mean. I think it's more fair, though. There is much more of a rivalry there. You know, the Eagles fans, I don't understand. Like, we beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. They beat us in the Super Bowl. 1-1. Eagles fans act like they just have complete domination, and despite the fact that's the only Super Bowl they've won in, like, 1,000 years, which just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Bills fans, there are some Bills fans that are like, hey, you know, not all Bills fans are mean. We like you, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, they're coming in peace? Bills fan coming in peace?
No, there's not been a single Philadelphia person that's coming. The slightest
I love
peace.
That.
Of course not.
I don't want them to.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Be who you are. All right, PFT, your hot seat, cool throne?
My hot seat is cake.
Yep. Mine
cake,
too.
I put cake on the hot seat because, well, Andy Reid really put cake on the hot seat. They asked Andy if the Chiefs have the same championship hunger, and his answer was, if you have a piece of chocolate cake, and you see another dangling in front of you, you're going to want it. That's how you feel about the Super Bowl. It is the ultimate chocolate cake.
Yep.
And
I love it.
Andy Reid, he just thinks of everything as life as it's related to food.
It's the NFL. I had the entire NFL on the hot seat for that same reason, that, like, once Andy figures out the perfect analogy for wanting to win another Super Bowl, you're screwed.
Yeah, he said earlier this month, I love how this team works together like I love a big piece of prime rib.
Right.
So everything for him, it's like, everything is a food. So, like, a touchdown, I'd say, like, a touchdown is a sandwich, like a hero sandwich to him. But he gets very, very into his food metaphors, and once he starts thinking about food, he physically gets hungry, and then he's going to mentally get hungry, and then the entire NFL, next thing you know, is in trouble.
Yes, yes. I mean, fucking Andy, he's the best.
He's the best. My cool throne is Stephen A. Smith, because he came in hot to celebrate the Cowboys' epic collapse on Sunday. He put on the cowboy hat. He did everything. He danced around. He was laughing at all the fans who were in misery. And the entire time I'm watching Stephen A. Smith, I think just one thing. He really, truly has an audience of one for all this celebration.
Yes.
And that's Skip Bayless.
Yes.
He is sending... He's not subtweeting Skip Bayless. He is subliving everything at Skip Bayless. His entire life is a subtweet to Skip Bayless because he misses him so much.
Mm-hmm.
And they miss their debates together. You can try to convince yourself in line, be like, no, Skip really likes debating against Dan Orlovsky. No, Skip really likes debating against Max Kellerman. Nothing is going to replace the void that Skip Bayless left in his life. And I hope to God that I live to see the day where they reunite on TV again, because there's an entire generation right now of kids that's coming through high school, coming through college, that never got to live through a Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless debate show. And you have no idea how great it was.
Yeah. No, you're right. It was he put on an A+ performance off of COVID too. Yeah, that was his first time back. He was hospitalized.
He almost died.
Yes.
Stephen A. Smith said, "I would
have dramatic till the very end.
I would have died if it wasn't for," he said, "because of the vaccine, right? Vax Kellerman." he was literally saying he was on death's door. And thank God that we didn't lose.
And the Cowboys losing brought him back to life.
That's probably he probably willed himself back to health, because he's like, I'm not going to die before I see Mike McCarthy run a draw with 14 seconds left in the game. I need to be around for that. But I just, the moral of the story is, I just really hope that Skip and Stephen A. get back together.
Did you see there was a lot of people who got fooled by the analytics tweet that Mike McCarthy, like, it was a fake quote that Mike McCarthy, that was what the analytics called for, the draw play there?
No.
So
I got duped by that.
Yeah, so people were shaming others for getting duped by that. I think it's the opposite. It's that Mike McCarthy is so bad that that becomes believable. That's a shame on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's so... The fact that there was multiple people who thought that was real, that's not your fault. That is Mike McCarthy's fault.
That's a dangerous route, because we catch a lot of strays with that, too.
What do you mean?
When, like, if a story comes out about Barstool Sports that's just, like, completely made up about something.
Yeah, but this is a harmless one, and then a real one.
Yeah.
Like, this is a harmless, funny story. It's not, like, you know.
I think that The real story is just as funny as Mike McCarthy saying that the analytics told us to go for that, which is him saying, like, yeah, we run this 14-second yes. quarterback draw yes. constantly in yes. practice.
Yes.
And in reality, every other coach, every other player that's asked about it says, yeah, that play takes about 17 seconds.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. So funny. What a clusterfuck. All right, my hot seat was also cake. And then my cool throne is LeBron. LeBron, the coach killer, is back. It looks like Frank Vogel might get fired. There's a lot of rumors right now. No one does it better than him. No one kills a coach better than LeBron. It actually makes me think, like, Eric Spoelstra should be in the Hall of Fame right now for not having LeBron, you know, get him fired instantly.
Who does he want?
I don't know. Probably one of his friends, someone he can boss around.
The thing is, I don't think LeBron ever thinks a step ahead before he gets a coach fired. I don't think he doesn't have a succession plan.
Yeah, they're apparently like going game by game to decide whether he's going to keep his job. So it says Vogel, who coached the Lakers to a championship in 2020 and whose contract runs through 2022-23 campaign, is being evaluated on a game-to-game basis and remains at risk of being fired soon if the progress doesn't continue.
Which one of his sons is the one that the nerd was based off in Space Jam 2?
Bryce Maximus.
Yeah, Bryce. Bryce probably plays a lot of 2K, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be very funny if he had his son coach the team.
He could do it. Yeah. I mean, why not? No one kills a coach better than LeBron. This is going to be so fun. They're essentially saying that, like, after every game, Bron's going to come off the court and just be like, all right, he keeps his job one more game.
Just give him the look, like.
Yeah, he's just doing the fucking gladiator up and down after every game for Frank Vogel's life.
Can he? Can you trade a coach?
You can. I don't know.
Who would want Frank Vogel?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know if you could trade a coach after you're announced or have reports that he's on a game-to-game basis.
That's such a tough spot to be in if you're going to go coach LeBron, because you know that you'll have some success.
Right.
But you also know that you'll be very publicly humiliated.
It's mm-hmm. also tough if you're game-to-game and, like, Russell Westbrook's one of your worst players, but you have to play him.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to keep your job.
That dunk was sick.
Was a sick dunk.
Sick dunk. Shout out, Russ. That was a sick dunk. All right, Billy, your hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is U.S. air shipping and travel. Turns out a bunch of the airline CEOs said that the new 5G radars that are getting put on for telecommunications, once they get turned on, it's going to affect a bunch of their planes' landing systems, and that they're going to have to ground all U.S. air and travel tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Today.
It actually is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's been...
They wrote a letter to be like...
Really?
Yes.
They open-lettered 5G.
Exactly.
Damn.
So it's supposed to... By the way, 5G's already happened in Asia and Europe already. This might
How has it not happened in America? All the commercials are 5G, 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 5G.
I don't know the precise reason why, but this might be another you can't use your cell phone on a plane type situation.
What? Kate McKinnon just has a more annoying version of 5G.
I think this is really just a move to like re-up that, like, oh, you can't use your cell phone anymore on planes.
Yeah, I don't...
Kill me.
I don't know. This to me reminds me of the Y2K scare. Where it was like, planes won't work. Everybody is going to be living. It's going to be the apocalypse.
Right.
Yeah. People are going to be running around with like with torches trying to find their way in the dark.
The exacts is that RADALT technology is affected by 5G waves and gives false readings.
So no planes tomorrow.
So there might not be planes tomorrow, but who knows? Might not actually be true. I think they're just going to use it to tell people they can't use their cell phone on planes anymore.
That's going
to
really fuck with coaching searches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And my cool throne is runnings. Cool runnings. The Jamaican bobsled team has qualified for the 2022 Olympics.
Go.
Yes.
Feel the run.
Yeah, there
feel
is
the
an
run.
Olympics this year.
Get
yeah.
on up.
That's before the Super Bowl.
Bobsled time.
Not excited at all.
No, you know what's going to be funny, though?
Great movie.
So, like, everybody is boycotting these Olympics. It'd be very funny if...
Are we?
We should.
Yeah.
For political reasons?
We
Where
should.
Are they? China?
China.
Damn.
I feel like...
Well, everyone but the NBA is
no fans
it.
Either.
Everybody except for Jamaica
fucking NHL
should
players.
Boycott these Winter Olympics so Jamaica can get a gold medal in the bobsled. I'd be fine with that. But
I'm
yeah.
down to boycott.
Yeah, I'll boycott too.
All right.
Done. We're not the Golden State Warriors. Did you
Done.
See what their owner said yesterday?
No.
That was fucked.
It was pretty fucked up. They asked him about the Uyghurs and the concentration camps, and he was like, yeah, I'll be honest with you, I just don't care. There's a line of things that I care about.
Yikes.
And that is beneath the line of things that I'm supposed to care
okay.
about.
Good to know where his line is.
I at least respect the fact that he's being honest about it.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the NBA is just like, please stop asking me that question. Yes. But at least he's like, yeah, you know what? I make a lot of money, so I don't care about people that are getting put into camps.
Yes. I mean, that's we're boycotting, so we're better than him. Give us the Warriors.
I'm not even, you know what? I'm not going to mention the Olympics this entire winter.
I probably will mention it a couple times, but I'm going to boycott it.
No doubt.
Yeah. Hank, or no, I mean Jake, sorry.
My hot seat is any athlete not named Marcus Mariota or Novak Djokovic, because happy Marcus Mariota and Novak Djokovic Day. Wednesday.
Why?
Because a year ago, I listened to the clip this morning. It was just to remember that they exist. Specifically Mariota, then we talked about Djokovic. It's kind of good timing with Djokovic.
Free him.
Yeah.
But Marcus Mariota does exist, and I actually... No, he's probably just a backup now.
I mean, he looked good whenever he played.
Yeah, but it was like they were kind of gadget plays.
I graded all of his plays from this year, and he averaged out at A- on film.
I was going to say my grade was 87.6.
No, I had a 91.2. So in
mine's out of 95.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an A.
Yeah. Okay. So we're same page.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the second ever day for that. We were going back and forth on the date. We moved it back a few days because we didn't want it to interfere with Hank's sister's birthday.
Got it. All right.
Happy birthday to Hank's sister.
All right. So shout Marcus out to Mariota.
That was yesterday, but
yeah, Marcus.
Oh yeah, I remember this now.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota. Way to go, dude. Yeah, so
that
you
was
exist.
A year ago.
We love you. You're welcome to come on the show. Same with Djokovic.
Wait, let's see if he blocks us.
I don't think we have that many people blocking us. In sports, it feels like we do an all block list of like Brooklyn writers or something. That would be.
Did he ever play after that concussion that he got?
Yeah, he came back.
And he was suited up.
He got in a couple times.
Yeah, he was suited up for the playoff game. So, good for him.
Yeah, back on the show every year, January 19th. And then my cool throne is the Vermont Catamounts. Making my return to Burlington this weekend. Calling the game on ESPN3. Everyone, please tune in. Big Cat, this gives you one team in green and yellow to cheer for on Saturday night.
Oh, because the Packers are playing.
Yes. So Hartford.
I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about like they better cover.
Yeah.
No. They better cover.
Yeah, they're 1-0, right? Or
yeah,
my broadcasts are 1-0.
Yes, but
system.
They better cover because I'm going to watch this game.
Okay.
The whole game.
I hope they do.
And
for
I'm
you.
Going to bet on it.
Yeah. ESPN3 Saturday 7:00.
So you better know the spread, and you better announce around it. I want to hear it.
You'll hear it.
Okay, I want to hear it.
You'll hear the reference.
Like if it's like a 6 or 7 point
if it's,
spread.
Yeah, if it's close, you'll hear it.
Yeah, but
if
like
it's natural.
What's your wink going to be? You got like your signature wink.
I don't know. It's going to be a big number. They're playing Hartford, who's 2-10.
I'm
going to
tell you, usually it's somewhere around KenPom, so let's look.
KenPom has them winning by 18, I think.
Okay, so let's say it's an 18-point spread, and there's 2 minutes left, and they're up 20, and Hartford hits a 3. What are we saying? Because I can give you want some advice?
Yeah.
And Hartford just came back, and now they're winning. That's what you should say.
In the eyes of some folks.
Yeah, but just... Like, if it's a blowout, announce it like that. Just be like, and Hartford takes a lead by 1 as they're down 17.
Right. So, yeah, everyone please tune in.
Yes. If you don't tune in, you're a fucking scumbag. Facts.
Yeah.
Who are you working with?
Bernie Siplicki, former Catamount.
Love it.
Okay. Yeah. How's your chemistry with him?
It's great. We did some work together when I was there as a radio voice. I don't know a specific number. I believe he's a father. Mm. Yeah.
Do you guys do, like, a steak dinner before the game?
No.
Night before?
It'd be nice.
Get to know each other?
Yeah.
What if we gave you some money, take him out for a steak dinner?
Yeah, do it.
Because you always have to say, like,
father.
I always hear, like, Al Michaels being like, you know, we went out for a steak last night. I just assume that it's a normal thing that every announcer has steak.
Fair. Flying here. Oh, if there's shrimp, I'll tweet about it.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Yes.
So
there won't be, though.
Probably not in Vermont in the winter.
Don't have, anything.
It's on a lake, but... Yeah.
All right. Tune in Saturday night. All right, let's get to it. Braxton Berrios, great interview coming up.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, we now welcome on a very, very special guest. It is, well, he's going to be a free agent. It's Braxton Berrios. He is all pro Braxton Berrios. How, like, let's start there. That's got to be pretty cool. You made all pro as a kick returner. That's insane. Like, people, all pro is something we should celebrate more because there's one pick for each position. You're all pro.
Appreciate it. I was shocked. I just got back from a vacation. So I was getting my coffee. I'd actually sat down looking at the ocean, you know, very nice, peaceful Friday morning. And it just came up on my phone. And it was like a Twitter notification. And it wasn't from like a big source. Like, it wasn't from like the AP, you know, the Associated Press. It was just like a notification. So I looked at it. And then I started texting people like, hey, is this real? You know, because, like, you know, you can't believe what you see on Twitter.
Right.
And so I texted, hey, is this real? And then all of a sudden it actually came out like from the NFL, and called my mom, called my dad. Like, I was elated.
And not only that, you are a free agent right now. So it's got to, like, that was probably the second thought, like, oh shit, now
this helped.
Yeah, you're not signing just Braxton Berrios, you're signing all pro Braxton Berrios. Like, that definitely changes
negotiations. It's amazing. It's amazing what that designation changes.
Yeah.
So, no, it was, I cried. I'm not even gonna lie. I cried.
Congrats,
I thought it was awesome.
Man card.
And it's also like, I mean, kick returners.
There you go.
Kick returner is, it's a thankless position. It's, you know, a position that you've seen in the NFL kind of wane because of the kickoff rules and stuff. So you deserve it.
You can't take that away from the game. You just can't. It's an exciting part of the game. And whether it's like, okay, you score or you get absolutely crushed, it's still a big part of the game.
That's it, yeah. Like, it's got to be a scary position to play.
Oh, yeah. I would wholeheartedly say punt return is scarier than kickoff return, but you will get hit harder on kickoff return.
Because
running. I mean, they're running from 60 yards, you know, and, you know, one guy doesn't block or messes up the block or, you know, doesn't get them hardly at all, and, like, it's a full 60-yard start.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people forget that, but when you watch even a touchback, if the kick goes straight into the end zone, you'll see that, you know, the referee signals for a touchback. Great call. Great arm signal. And then, you know, 3 seconds after that, you'll see guys still slowing up, sprinting in the end zone.
Yeah.
Because they were going that fast. When they got to the 20, they had to just...
They just coasted.
Yeah, they just coasted all the way in. So,
it's a full-on head-on collision.
Yeah.
And who votes for all pro?
It's the actual, like, media. So, like, the actual people in the NFL. So, it's not like the Pro Bowl where it's, like, fans and, like, a popularity contest.
Mm-hmm.
The All-Pro is, like, I think it's, like, the 50 of the top, like, media of the NFL.
It's similar to the MVP vote. I'm pretty sure it's almost the exact same.
I think it's the same people.
Because I remember I looked up, there's one year that's very, very weird, and I'd have to double-check it, that, like, Joe Montana made the All-Pro, but John Elway won the MVP, which, like, never happens. Usually, All-Pro tells you who's going to win the MVP. But, it's a crazy – it's awesome for you. So your career, like, let's just get this out of the way. The jokes that were made when you were coming out of college and being like, you're going to get drafted by Bill Belichick, when that actually happened, were you like, is this a prank? Because I think there's very few times where we see a player in college and we're like, oh, that's – he's definitely going to get drafted by the Patriots. And then it happened.
Then it actually happened.
Yes.
No, I heard it all coming out. And when it actually happened, I was like, wow, you know, you guys were right.
He does have a type.
I looked back at my tweets in 2017. I said, congratulations, a future New England Patriot, Braxton Berrios. And then Danny Woodhead got involved. I remember Danny Woodhead was the guy that actually – he turned me on to you. He was like, yo, this guy's not just sneaky fast. He's fast.
Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst. The whole sneaky fast, deceptively.
Yeah.
Like, quick, but that's the worst.
What's the most important thing to have a receiver like you? Is that I've always thought it's wiggle. Do you have wiggle?
I have wiggle.
Yeah. Wiggle's important.
Wiggle's important. And, like, of course, like, I hate saying this, but, like, quickness is important, especially because you're going across the middle.
So right.
It's like, you got to be able to, like, you know, you got linebackers in there and safeties coming from 10 yards. Like, you need some wiggle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then what was the conversation when Belichick had to cut you? Because, you had an injury. They had they were trying to fill up their roster spot with 4 or 5 guys for wide receiver.
Yeah.
Did he cry when he had to cut you? He's like, I loved you since the second I set eyes on you.
Yeah, it was a tough conversation, obviously. And, you know, he was very complimentary. And, you know, they're very professional about everything they do. And that's the problem. I mean, when you get – injured over there, it's a little different. You know, it's looked upon differently than other places, and it's just that's what it was.
Yeah.
And you know, and luckily it landed me on my next spot, and that kind of led me to here. So it is what it is. It wasn't a fun time.
Well, and you had the rare one where I think I read that Belichick called Adam Gase and was like, "You got a really good one here."
So Gase actually told me that story towards the end of that season. So we were sitting in a walkthrough on Saturday. And somehow something came up, and he said, "By the way, I never told you the story." And he told me that story where, you know, Belichick called him, and he thought it was about Demaryius Thomas at the time, because Demaryius Thomas was with me in New England at the time, and then he came over to New York, and he said he didn't talk about Demaryius at all, and he said, "Hey man, you really had a good one. We wish we could have kept him."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's cool, obviously, hearing that from Bill Belichick,
right?
But yeah.
Okay,
so some would say, I've heard people say that you're undersized, but you're 5'8 and 5/8. You're the perfectly average size person. It doesn't get any more perfectly average size than that. I used to be 5'9, but then I got COVID. Now I'm 5'8.
Does it to your spine?
It does. It compresses it. It's a shame. So stay safe. I hope that you're vaccinated. But being a smaller wide receiver in the NFL, is there any advantage at all to being a little bit on the smaller side? Because there might be certain things that guys are used to playing against bigger, taller, wider. Is there anything, like any small, tiny little thing that we might not think about that it might actually help to be a little bit shorter?
I mean, I guess to, I mean, I can avoid hits a little better, you know, a little quicker, you know, because like, you know, you see two or three guys coming at one time and we call it find a pocket.
Yeah.
Like I can find a pocket a little bit, you know, hundreds quicker than a guy who's 6'1 can. So like that's obviously a plus there.
There's less of you to hit.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're closer to the ground. I actually think
that is true.
Being able to fall correctly in the NFL.
Oh, it's a huge skill.
Yeah. Getting tackled is a skill.
Yes, you got to learn how to fall. And so, like that's why you see a lot of people with like shoulders when they get tackled, because like, and sometimes you get caught, let's be honest. But yeah, you got to learn how to fall. Like there's right and wrong ways to fall.
Yeah. Yes. It's not always crazy. Worth it fighting for an extra yard.
No.
Worth it getting your body in the right position.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself.
We got to talk about the U because it's back.
U's back.
I mean, yeah, and Cristobal and also the NIL deals.
Dude.
Another
story.
Are you sitting there like, fuck, I really wish that I was 4 years younger than I am because I could have gotten some nice money at the U?
Yeah, no, 1,000%. I think it's obviously a great thing. I think college athletes should be paid.
Yes.
But I also think it should be regulated in some sense. The way that they're doing it is kind of a free-for-all.
See, that's interesting you'd say that because I would think Miami would be one of those schools that, like, let's just have it be – like, if you're a Northwestern fan or, like, an Oregon State fan, you're like, we need to regulate it
because
we're never going to be able to compete.
Oh, absolutely. From a recruiting standpoint,
yeah.
Miami has the upper hand on 95%+ of colleges.
Right.
You're in Miami. And, like, that was always a thing. Like, my thing was, like, where did you want to be in, like, January and February? Like, in college. Football's over, like, where do you want to wake up and, like, go to school and, like, walk outside? And obviously that was a no-brainer. And so from a football standpoint, NIL is like the best thing that ever happened because now you can use all that you had and now tack on money to it and that you're in the city of Miami.
Yeah.
No, they run away with it.
So you would have done nicely. I know you were recruited by some big time schools, Ohio State, Clemson. Who else was on that list?
Oregon.
Oregon. So now that we have NIL and recruiting is talked about so much and obsessed about so much. What was the difference maker between Miami and the other schools? And like, what was the pitch that you almost went to?
So I was very close to going to Tennessee.
Interesting.
I was very close to going to Tennessee. And honestly, what won Miami was that my dad's from Miami and I grew up a Miami fan. So I grew up a Hurricanes fan, a Dolphins fan, all that. So literally loyalty kind of won that over.
Right.
Because like, you know, I went to Knoxville and it was the Tennessee-Georgia game and it was the checkered game. So, you know, Neyland was checkered. There's 107,000. It went into overtime. Tennessee ended up winning, I think. Like as good as it could have been on a visit, it was. And it actually happened to be my birthday that weekend too. So it was just, so that was like my last visit. So that was October 6th weekend. And then the 12th is when I committed. So like after that, I was like, oh man.
And you saw the power tee and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, it was awesome. It was a college, like, you know, not powerhouse necessarily, but in the sense of like football, like it was hard to beat Neyland Stadium.
Do you think most guys do it off of like that visit has a big effect, or is it facilities? I'm just fascinated by recruiting, just because it's going to change so much in the next, you know, 10 years or 15 years. Or is it the staff is like I know Saban probably just says, do you want to be a pro?
Yeah.
And if you want to be a pro, you come here and then we'll make
and
you a pro.
And they don't, and they, I mean, they earn that. They don't really recruit like that. They don't.
Right.
I think it's very personal to like the person.
Yeah.
Truly. I don't think there's one thing gets all, but I will say like official visits like to games, like I think that can like make or break, you know? So like if you're playing a bad team and you know the stadium's not going to be filled, like maybe not have officials you know, that weekend. Like I think that could be like a bad thing.
Do you think winning and losing that game matters? Because I love – I just love – fanatical, crazy college football fans, and they'll be like, yeah, we not only lost, but we had this guy in the end zone.
I think that has almost, okay. Unless you get like blown out, like embarrassed, I don't think winning or losing matters in official visits.
Yeah.
I always think it's like the last visit you take has, that's the one that's fresh in your mind, right?
Because, recency.
Yeah, the recency bias is a very real thing for anybody, but especially for like a 16, 17-year-old kid that's making this decision. And, you know, the last place they're at, they're going to remember that in their heads. They're going to be like, yeah, you know what? I had the best time of my life last weekend, but I think this might be better. So you want to be the last coach to talk to a guy. But what about people that like random adults tweeting at you when you're 17, being like, "Hey, come to Knoxville. We need you." Did that have any effect on you?
No, I think it's like cool until it becomes weird. You know, I think there's a fine, like it's cool like when the fan base like now knows who you are, you know, and you got offered from that school and like that first like week, cool. And then I think like after that, like it becomes a little weird and almost annoying.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, did you have any hand in creating your own like highlight reel from high school, or did somebody else do that for you? And if so, did you have like input to the soundtrack on it?
No, I think somebody else did mine for me. Well, first it was like huddle, you know, like that was like complete coaching staff. Like, and I think I ended up doing a little bit of that as well. And then like whatever is on like YouTube, I had no control, you know, like I'd had no hand in that.
Yeah, it's always let the bodies hit the floor. Headstrong is another big one. And then sometimes they'll put like Nickelback as a soundtrack, but it's really, Down with the Sickness. There's like four songs that you can put as your mixtape.
So while we're talking about crazy college football fans, are you aware of Danny Boy Kane? He's probably
so
the,
funny. They told me you were going to bring him.
Well, he's the biggest Kane fan in the world.
Yeah, aware, not but aware.
But okay, good. So shout out him. Can you shout him out?
Shout out Danny Boy Kane.
There we go. That's all I wanted.
What about Hulkaniac?
No.
Big Papa Kane, okay. Hulkaniac, throw him out. They're giving him a hell of a time. Do you think the U will actually be back? Because it is one of that game against Notre Dame when you scored. I remember just sitting there being like, this is it. Like, the U is back. This is what it should feel like. A big Saturday night game, Miami, packed house. And then, obviously, you guys were not back, even close to back. I think you lost in, like, Shreveport to Louisiana Tech or something.
Not that year. That year we went to the Orange Bowl.
Okay, all right. But the year after,
Before and then after, yeah.
Yeah, that was the easiest bet of my life. Like, Miami goes to Shreveport in December. I don't think they want to be there.
Yeah. Shreveport was it? Because we went there my freshman year as well.
I don't think they want to be there.
They have casinos.
I think they have two casinos.
They do. It's like Margaritaville and like one other one.
Yeah. I've been to both. I've been thrown out of one. It's always gray in Shreveport. It's in the south, but the sky color is just gray, overcast, but it never rains. It's just
that's exactly how it was for our game. It was like a light rain. It was like a mist, and then it would shut off and then mist again.
Yeah, you guys don't want to be there. So 0 to 10, 10 being all the way back, where are they right now?
Well, like you said, like the Notre Dame college game day, we were supposed to get blown out. All that, like that was highlight of college career. Like that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like the coolest thing ever.
You do the convict touchdown dance, which was sick.
Catholics versus convicts. So really like that was a moment where you said like, we were like, shit, we might be back.
Right.
And then lost last game of the season. And then in the ACC championship game to Clemson. And I think Chris Sabol is the right guy. And my thing is like, Even Alabama in Alabama's prime, and also Clemson had a run, you know, recently too. Like those teams, like the U back in those days was like dominating everybody 24/7. Like it was just different, and the landscape of college football was different. So I think to get back there is probably impossible, you know, because it's just like it's a different day and age. But I think the U can still mean something, and I think Chris Wall's the guy to do it. Like right now, we're like at a three, you know, right. A 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, like we have the U on our helmet. We have the turnover chain. And like, that's
I think
about
he's going to get rid of that. I think you have to. Paul Chryst, I'm a Wisconsin Badger. Paul Chryst killed the turnover chain.
Yeah.
Was that, you were in that game?
The Orange Bowl.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes.
He killed it. When a guy, like a true Midwestern dude wearing like gray sweatpants is like turnover chain my ass, it's over.
It was
it's
tough.
Dead.
It was tough. Well,
we killed you.
I think we should have a rule. Like if we're losing more than like 14 points, like, the turnover chain doesn't
no
come
props.
Out. Like,
no props.
Yeah. No props.
Were
like,
you ever
that's
allowed,
cool.
like as an offensive player, were you allowed to look at the, did you ever, like get close to it, or they're like, "This is a defensive thing."
No. We could get close to it, and also like if we're on special teams, like a couple offensive guys got it. I never did.
Yeah,
but you know, any turnover counted.
If on offense you had thrown like an interception, you chase the guy down, knock the ball out,
and recover it.
Yeah, do you get the turnover chain?
I'm definitely running off the field for a play to get the turnover chain.
Yeah,
1000%.
You gotta take advantage.
I forgot that was that Orange Bowl. Yeah, that must have sucked though, because Paul Chryst did like he's got the least swag of any coach in America, and I love him. But he ended it for you.
Yeah, it was tough. That was a tough loss.
And it was that game was in Miami.
It was in Miami. It was a home game.
Yeah, we killed you, right? It wasn't 10 points.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
I never was doubting it, though. Let's just say that I wasn't uncomfortable.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so I do just want Miami to be back. It's one of those schools.
It's good for college football.
Right, and it's like they're the bad guy. It's just fun. I actually love the fact that they're outwardly being like, here's all the money we're paying NIL. I want that to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's like that's their pull now.
Right.
Like they're using that's one of the biggest pulls. Like we haven't been one of the best in the ACC for 3-4 whatever years.
More than that.
Well, we went to ACC championship game 4 years ago.
Yeah, but Clemson is just
no. Clemson was far and away, and away, and I think they won the national championship that year too. No, they're the peak of ACC until this year.
Yeah. The good news is the ACC kind of sucks now. So
although Clemson has been 10 games, that's the best part about Clemson season. Everyone's like, Clemson sucks. Like they won 10 games.
Yeah,
and they lost by 7 to the national champion.
But the ACC was just bad this year. Just like easy to be what is it, King Turd on Shit Mountain? If you can pay enough money and if you can be like the U's back, come here, look what we're doing. There's definitely like an opportunity. There's a window for the U to be back.
No doubt. I saw something this morning on Instagram where it like listed there was like 20 guys almost that got paid like anywhere from 35K to 50K.
That was yesterday. They announced it. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I think it was with you guys, with the Rosenhaus guys. Yeah. Yeah. They're hooking it up.
Hey,
nice.
Hey. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
On the Jets now, on the Jets this season and last season, I got to ask you about Dr. Heat, about Greg Williams. Former defense coordinator. So we've heard stories that in practice, he would just like send the house against the first team offense. And Adam Gase would have to be like, hey, man, we're trying to work through some other stuff over here. Like, I know that we're not going to get blitzed every down on Sunday. Can you maybe just like dial it back a little bit for a few plays? Is that remotely true?
And the competition periods? 1000%. But those are, hey, you call your defense, we'll call our offense.
Yeah.
Not in the scout team periods, because he has, you know, the offense handles the defense on the scout team period. So that's not necessarily true. But,
he just loved to blitz, though.
He big cover zero guy.
Blitz all the time. Yeah. I like that. Zach Wilson, we'll talk about him. But before we talk about Zach Wilson, did you get caught up in Mike White hype like we did?
That's my guy.
I mean, thought he was Joe Montana.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he starts his first game in 4 years, throws for 400 yards and four or five. I mean, like,
yeah, we were.
How could you not?
We were all the way swept up.
The Bengals are what the number?
Yeah,
one, yeah,
they're good teams.
You guys were tight. Yeah, you beat
the Titans and the Bengals.
Did you think about telling Mike like, hey, you should fake, like, you should pretend that you sprained your ankle?
That's why everybody said like, just walk off on that one. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that was
pulling Antonio Brown.
But no, he was in his zone. He was feeling it, and like he came on the meeting and was like, well, if you ask me, I should have been the number one pick. Like, you love that. You absolutely love that. Like, as your quarterback, that's phenomenal.
How was like Zach Wilson's rookie year? I, you know, dealing with a rookie who has to get everything thrown at him a team that, you know, is in a rebuilding phase. Do you think, did you see it? Did you see the flashes? You're like, okay, this guy's legit.
No, absolutely. And you can, like, there's flashes all throughout the year, you know, like the Tennessee, like pointing to Corey Davis, like making a play within a play. And, you know, obviously he got hurt, and so he was out whatever those few weeks. And then he came back and, like, learned a lot in that time and was a better version of himself in the second half than he was in the first half of the year. And, like, you know, you see that growth within one season, and, like, you got to take in learning the offense completely, like learning your teammates completely. You have the New York media, and then it's NFL football. You know,
right.
It's going to be tough for anybody. And obviously, you know, a rookie is just heightened that much.
Do you think he should maybe ditch the headband when you guys are getting your ass kicked? Because that always, it's similar to turnover chain. When you're getting your ass kicked and you have a headband, it's like, no, take that off.
But that's him.
I think you got to still take it off. You think you really? Just got to, it's like a mood ring. He just has to, like, all right, we're getting our ass kicked.
So, like, in the same sense, when he takes it off, he's just throwing up the white flag and saying,
yeah, I'm done.
Well, then you could fake him out and take it off and then come back on him.
But then you're playing with yourself.
Well, no, you're playing with them.
No, you're not allowed to do that. He's a Mormon. I'm sorry, he set me up for it.
Yeah.
Latter days are for the boys. That's what we say around here.
All right, so who's the most influential guy in the pro level on your career? I have an answer, but I want to hear your answer first.
Growing up, Devin Hester.
Okay.
Which is, like, funny because, like, I'd never really been a kick returner for a whole season until this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously all pro. But, like, growing up, like, he was, like, my
Hall
idol.
Hall of Famer, yep.
My idol.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say Julian Edelman because you have figured out a way to post a ton of pictures with your shirt off on Instagram, which I'm guessing Edelman's, like, it was, like, playbook in one hand and then Instagram in the other. And Jules was like, all right. So anytime you're anywhere near a beach, make sure you get at least like 4 or 5 pictures so you can
see. But
pop
I didn't think he was
later.
That big of a shirt off guy.
did you ever see his Father's Day post where he's like, "Happy Father's Day, love you, Dad," and it was just a picture of his dad like over his shoulder while he had his shirt off, like you couldn't even see his dad. All you could see was Jules' abs.
That was a self suck. Good for him. Good for him.
But you're pretty. You do. I mean, look, if you got it, flaunt it. But was Jules, did he say that to you? Like, hey, man, the key to this league is make sure you have your shirt off whenever you're taking an Instagram picture.
He was instrumental in a lot of things. Instagram was not one of them.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, we had a few conversations.
Maybe it was he just influenced you without you even knowing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever accidentally call you Julian or Wes around the Patriots facility?
Not accidentally. On purpose, absolutely. Not accidentally.
It's like, we got another Wes. This is Wes 3.
Yeah, well, speaking of Mike White, like, he refers to Julian as, like, dad. So he'd be like, hey, have you talked to your dad recently? Like, he does it all the time. Like, that's...
Yeah, these pictures. You had a stretch there where it was just shirt off every day.
I'm looking at Julian. Julian's actually cleaned up
his... Well,
I think
we've shamed him.
I'm like, recently...
We've shamed him.
He's a dad.
We put it in his head... That, like, the Father's Day one was
a little much.
You literally wouldn't know, you wouldn't be able to see his dad in the picture. So it was like, he's like those TikTok kids who are like, you know, like, shout out Nana, and then, like, Nana's dying right behind him, and they're doing a
and
video.
They're doing it.
Yeah. Shout out my dad, here are my abs.
Nana,
but no, I mean, you're a good looking dude, so you I guess you deserve
you.
To do it.
Man card?
No, yeah, listen, we're supporting each other in 2022.
Yeah, guys lifting
I love
up.
That.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Love that.
So we can say that about each other. So keep posting them. Just be careful about how many, because then we will start, like, probably our fans are going to get in your mentions now.
Fair
being
enough.
Like, oh shit, thirst trap. That's just a mental game, though. If you can overcome that, you can overcome anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let the games begin.
You had one of my favorite plays of the year. This year, which was the design lateral downfield.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was sick. So, yeah.
Cocaine.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
It's called the play is called Cocaine.
Yep. That was it.
From Adam Gase's days? What was.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That was his that was
the play call.
Yeah, so it's a great play. I'm a big advocate of more planned downfield laterals in football. I think it'll change the game if you can execute it.
You can execute it. I know a few teams.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I know a few teams
I talk about it
tried
every show.
It. A few teams tried it, and it didn't go so well.
Right, because they don't coach the players to throw the laterals correctly. They don't coach the players to stand at adequate distance behind the player and then run onto the ball right. But you worked it out perfectly.
Yeah, we had that one in the playbook actually for a few weeks. And, like, you know, we'd put it in when the defense on third and long, would give us a look. And so finally we called it, and everybody in the huddle's like smiling. They're like, all right, well, this is going one or two ways. And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked phenomenally.
It's great when teams run it when it's not a desperation situation, because if it's desperation, the other team sees it coming a mile away. Yeah,
absolutely.
And they're able to defend it, cause some turnovers.
It was like in the second quarter or something?
Yeah, it was like in the second quarter. And if you throw it towards the sideline, then if you miss it, it goes out of bounds. Not a big deal. Really no harm done. I want you to continue. I want to give you positive reinforcement on that play.
And hope that innovate. You can.
It
is a cool play when it works. Yes.
Tell very coach, cool. I know this podcaster who's very happy with the fact that you ran this play. We should continue doing that.
Do we please? I'll give him a call.
Yeah. Whoa, you're talking to the Jets right now?
Why
are you being that? Tampered
of
with?
Of course. No. I think I don't
Are you open
know.
To being tampered with?
Completely. So you guys have started. You guys have started talks?
We've talked.
Don't do it.
We've talked.
So let's do a headline grab. What's your favorite city in America?
You like Miami?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay. Panthers. Oh, you want to be reunited with Sam Darnold? Did that hurt your feelings sometimes when people were like, "What? Like Sam Darnold hasn't gotten a fair shot. His best receiver is Braxton Berrios."
Yeah, no, that hurts. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And luckily, I don't see many of that, but like somehow it comes off. And it's like, it's like, oh, Zach Wilson had Braxton Berrios to work with. And it's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just like, my bad.
Just a total, you're just minding your own business.
Yeah, exactly.
You just get a stray.
I didn't hurt anybody.
Are you looking to maybe try to get out of the AFC East for the first time in your career?
Mm.
I'm indifferent. I don't look at it as like, oh, I want to go to this division or this conference. You know, like that's not like where my head's at least.
What's if you're listing your values for what you're looking for in a football team?
Well, here are the values that potentially a football team has: no state income tax, near a beach, or brutally cold. List those three. Power rank those.
Power rank?
Yeah. One, two, three.
Oh.
Yeah, like what's most important?
Out of those?
Yeah.
No state income tax.
Okay. All right.
Then I would say beach.
Okay.
And then brutally cold.
Okay.
So Miami.
Yes, the Dolphins. Or the Bucs.
Danny Amendola.
Yeah, you could go to the Bucs.
Follow Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Has Tom given you a call? I'll rephrase that. Were you offended when Tom did not give you a call to be like, hey, come down to Tampa Bay with me?
No, I understand my place there.
It wasn't there yet. It is fair though to say you are a Super Bowl champion, right?
Technically,
you've got a ring.
I do.
Yeah. Do you now? Is that a ring that you like would take out and wear or no?
No, never. It's huge.
Yeah.
But also, it's just not like maybe like for one thing, you know, like but I don't even know what that one thing is, like where I would wear it to. Like I don't know an appropriate setting.
A reunion of that team.
That would probably be it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
What do you think your like most important contribution to that team was that year?
Well, obviously not much on the field.
but you have to.
Let's be very, very clear.
But you have to tell yourself like you were on that team.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so the things that you do,
and that like is like the hard part. Like as a competitor, it's like you know, like you see it, and like obviously it's very good, and you can say that you have a ring, and you know I do, and all that's great. But it sucks on the other sense. But, I mean, I was still there. I was in the meetings. I did most of the scouting reports, like, each week. And, mm-hmm. like, I'd give them to all the guys. So, like, yeah, I try to help in any way I can.
Belichick's probably the best coach to have that, to be on a team where you're not getting a lot of field time, but you're on the practice squad. Because he probably is, like, he's the most important part of the organization. Like, yeah. Belichick would definitely
say. Well, I was on IR.
Yeah.
I wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, still. He'd be like, he was the most important part.
Yeah, no, I mean, and honestly, like the pure learning experience there is like absolutely invaluable. Like that whole year, like I learned more about like football, and then you know obviously got to listen to Brady take over a meeting and say, hey guys, like this is how I look at it. Like this is, and like that going to that to now you know a rookie quarterback, like I can start to see like okay what he's saying, and like everybody says like be friendly to the quarterback. Like,
yeah,
I know when the coverage goes all which ways, like I know what he feels is open, and like that's where I'm going to try to show up.
It's funny you say like the competitor in you, because obviously if you make the NFL you have an insane competitive drive, and you know you're able to do things that you know 99.9999% of the world can't. But I hear that and I'm like, man, I would love to win a ring just like being on the bench and never playing. Like never having any pressure and just being like a dude that hangs out.
Yeah, but like, it feels be much sick. Better when like you feel like
I know,
you earn it.
You're
you,
and
yeah.
I'm me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Like,
see, if I stepped onto the field, I'd probably die. Yeah. Like, that'd be the most scary part of my entire year. I would hate to. Like, I want to be on the sidelines.
Yeah, like I see. I like
watch, rooting them on.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah. I watch an NBA team. I'm like the 12th man. That guy's cool. I want
that
be
guy's
him.
Awesome.
You yes,
know, I'm the first guy to put your fours up at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yes,
I get
you're
that.
The ringleader.
Yeah, exactly. I actually truly was that guy in high school football. That was. The
what
only
position
thing
did
I
you
was
play?
At. I played a little bit of wide receiver, kicker, and a little bit of scout team fullback, which I was way too small to be playing. Had no business doing.
How much of your time is spent on your outfits?
Not much at all.
It feels like you've upped your game.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but not much. Well, day to day, I'm in sweats.
Right.
Like, every day in the season, I'm in sweats. So like, finally, when I get to like blow the dust off the back of my closet and do something, it's all there.
Mm-hmm. Because you do, yeah. I mean, the pictures.
Are you looking right now?
Yeah, I'm looking. I got a whole thing. Yeah.
Do you have a
getting on this checkered?
I feel
this
like
checkered suit coat's
more,
pretty nice.
More players should bring two sets of clothes to a game. Like one if you win, one if you lose.
Yes.
Well. Like the reindeer outfit was like I wore reindeer outfit after Jacksonville, which was the day after Christmas or mm-hmm. the day after that, and like that was the same thing. Like I wore normal clothes in there, and I had the onesie in my bag, and it was never going to see the light of day if we lost.
Right.
Yeah. But I agree, and I honestly I do. So like I'll have like an outfit whatever I wear in, and like you know say it's like a suit or what, and if we lose, like I'm not putting that back on. Like mm-hmm. that's going in the bag. I'm putting my sweats on and I'm walking out.
That's smart. Yeah. That's a very heads up thing to do. I feel like more players should take that into account. Newton. Because like when you show up at the podium, yeah, and you've got like a live like a barely dead raccoon wrapped around your head, and you're talking
tails,
about how you went
tails twitching.
You went 5 for 22 with 3 interceptions. Like that's not helping anybody.
Yeah, no, I know, and it's funny. Like I don't know how many people think of that, but like that's something I do. I was like, well, if we, you know, if this ends up happening and we lose, I don't want to look like that guy, you know, that like,
yes,
I'd rather look good than win.
When you were on the Patriots, was that when Josh McDaniels left for like 12 hours?
That was before.
That was right before. Yeah. Okay.
I think that was a year before.
All right. Yeah. So he obviously came back because he was, you know, he's trusted to be the head of that offense in New England. But then on the other side, you've got an up and comer running the defense, Steve Belichick. Is that his normal voice? Or is he like? Is he fucking with all of us to make us think that he sounds exactly like his dad?
No, I think as much as he would love to mess with everybody, that is his actual voice.
He just sounds exactly like dad, huh?
Yeah.
Does he do those weird mouth things during practice, or is that just when he knows the camera's on?
No comment.
Was it really weird when Sam Darnold got mono?
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Okay. With like, I mean, like was he able to take a joke about it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, there was a time that he like wasn't in the facility, obviously, where it's like, okay, we probably shouldn't joke about this. And then like when he got back, it was.
It's an all time.
It was free for all.
Yeah, it's an all time.
I mean, it's
thing.
Just one of those things. Like what can you do? You know, like at that time, it's almost like.
Stop
I mean,
kissing.
As invisible as COVID in a sense, you know, like you don't know if somebody has mono and like you kiss somebody. So what? And then it just turns out like it's the second game of the year and you're out for 4 weeks because you made out.
Did you see those same ghosts that he saw? Were they on the field?
No, that was wrong by ESPN.
I agree. That was wrong.
Because
wrong.
Like
it's one thing to have like audio. I get it for all your content. That's fine. But like in the middle of a game, you know, and something like that. And when you don't do that to everybody, you know, you just pick one person and record that. That's wrong. That's bad ball.
I like that. That's bad ball. That's bad ball by ESPN. Because you go to the sidelines, you're talking to your coach, you're being honest with your coach, with the understanding that, like, hey, okay, we're contributing this content to ESPN. They're not going to fuck us over and make us look like shit. And they take one thing. That I'm sure stuff like that gets said a lot during games by different people.
A lot.
But now it's associated forever with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, when the offense isn't scoring, I'm sure the defense is like, what's wrong with goes on the offense. And same thing when the offense is going and the defense can't stop anybody. We say the same thing, but it's not because, like, we don't like the defense or the players. It's just, it's the heat of the battle. It's football. Like, you just shouldn't do that.
I like that, though, that you were, that you wouldn't joke about Sam Darnold when he was out of the facility. But when he came, like, you wouldn't say it behind his back.
Yeah, no.
He comes back and you're like,
right
hey,
to his face.
You suck in your face at Pig and Parrot last night or what?
Yeah. Way to party kiss.
Yeah. all right, last question. So we had Jimmy Graham, another Miami legend on the show. And it was the last week of the Bears season. Obviously, Matt Nagy got fired last year. Adam Gase gets fired. How awkward is it in a facility when it's like everyone in the world knows this is going to end? We're just pretending that it's all normal.
Well, that's the thing, because like nobody really pretends. Like, right, everybody knows. And like, right, that, I don't know if that makes it worse or better. Because, you know, obviously, whatever, 2 years ago, you know, we finished 2-14 or whatever it was. But like, everybody knew kind of midway through the year that it was kind of done.
Right.
Right. And it's just like one of those things where like, you don't know, some of the coaches would joke about it and then others wouldn't talk about it. And then, you know, we won two games and everybody's partying like, you know.
We saved the jobs. Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those, I'm always fascinated with like the human side of sports.
But it's
like
a business.
Right.
And everybody gets that.
Right.
And like, that's where I always say, like, I wish it was just football and not a business, but like, you can't have those, you know, mutual, you can't have those independently exist.
Right.
You know, there comes one with the other. And so like, I think everybody, you know, you're a grown man and you know, you're the track record is like, okay, like this is going to happen. So it's one of those things, like same thing, Sam, like, you're out for the next 3 weeks, but we're still going to give you shit for it.
Right.
You know, like, it's the same way. Like, we know we're out. We might as well have fun while we're here.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
My last question. Going back, you mentioned that Zach, you know, he likes to point downfield sometimes. I think he points downfield a little bit too much. Like, he's almost addicted to, he gets out of the pocket, and he always puts his finger out there. He just points in a direction. You know, either something really awesome or really bad is about to happen. But is he actually, like, instructing you to do certain things? Or does he sometimes just point to, like, get a little bit of swag going before he throws the ball?
No, well, obviously with that one in Tennessee, that was to Corey Davis. Go deep. I'm launching it. And touchdown. Sick play. And then the other words, yeah, when you kind of point when you're rolling out, like, you got everybody chasing you. You got the linebackers about to come hit you. Like, I don't really know what other like example of that, but normally it's for a point. It's not just like headband swag point throw. You know,
yeah,
like it's,
he does
it's,
it a lot
for
though.
A reason.
I've noticed he does it a lot. Billy, you're a big Jets fan. Do you want to ask
questions?
Any questions?
Yeah. Any last questions?
He loves Billy? You. Billy's in love with you.
Yeah.
What's going on?
He was like, celebrities make me nervous. Like, you're obviously an NFL player, big time deal, all pro. But like, we've had like Adam Sandler and stuff. He's like, he wasn't nervous for that or anything like
really?
That. It's like, Braxton Berrios,
I'd be nervous.
He's got you nervous. Yeah.
Quick question. So you've been with the Patriots. You've been with Adam Gase and the last coaching staff. Do you feel that there's a huge difference in this coaching staff and this environment with the Jets? Even if you leave, there's still like serious like possibilities of promise going forward.
Who's the coach you're referring to with the Jets?
Coach Sala.
What was that?
They give me shit for my pronunciation of his name because I can never do it.
It's funny because I noticed how you like didn't bring him off. You said the Patriots coach staff, then you said Gase, and then you just said,
no.
You just try to wean off of it.
Yes,
that's funny.
Yes.
No, truly, I think they're heading in a very good direction. I love the coaching staff there. They're young. They know what they're doing. Communicate well, and like Sala is a phenomenal coach and a great storyteller.
So if you love him so much, why don't you announce your re-signing right now?
Well, that's you know, it's two sides.
But you could say it. You could be like, I will do everything in my power. I'll take a pay cut. I'm looking at your agent's eyes right now. I'll take a pay cut to be a New York Jet.
We'll see what
if
happens.
If you love him so we'll much, I don't know. Listen, if I loved a guy like that, I'd be like, hey, I'll fucking take a pay
cut.
Yeah,
how good is he at storytelling?
Phenomenal.
Because if he's a great storyteller, I would take less money.
Yes.
To hear the stories.
Yes. There's just to stick around for the stories.
A great storyteller is worth, like, that's, you can't put a price tag
it's
on that.
Like, yeah, well, no, you could. It's like, I don't know, $3 million, $10 million 3 years.
Yeah, that's not. So what do you mean, like, he's a great storyteller? Like, ghost stories or?
No, like team meeting stories, but like random. And like, you have no idea where they're going, but they always kind of like full circle. And actually, some don't. It's just like a fun way to start the day.
Is there one that sticks out to you? Like his
no, because they're long. There? Like, I couldn't remember one to save my life right now.
I got
to
hear a story then. We got to get
them
on.
Y'all
you
have
get
to.
Them on.
Have to.
Yeah. All right. Well, Braxton, thank you so much, man. Congrats again, All Pro. Congrats on your future deal. If you want our help, we will help.
Deal.
Okay. So we get 1% of whatever you sign for, and we will help. We will start
usually
tweeting out
10.
Facts, stats.
Usually it's
yeah.
10. Wow.
Yeah. Give him the hometown
I got a break.
Discount.
Here. Big discount.
Yes,
we're setting an example. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, let's do FAQs.
Okay. Hey, Dad Cat, PF Shay, PF She, and Hanky Panky.
Hanky Panky.
Quick question. When you say certain numbers are not eligible to be selected in the lottery machine, why the hell is that? Thank you.
Because sometimes we're just too lazy to put them back in, and yeah. So there are numbers that have been drawn recently, and it's a long way for Big Cat to reach over and yep. take the ball out and put it in the top.
Big news, though, today I went through the entire machine for a sportsbook promo that we had. If you opted in and you bet the Steelers this weekend, you will get a refund.
On the parlay promo?
No. It was just straight bets.
Oh, it was the ping pong.
Yeah, it's ping pong balls. But I went through the whole thing. Every single number is still there, which I was shocked. I thought for sure there was a couple numbers that just weren't there. They all are there. It's an incredible feat. Yeah, there it is. Good luck to everyone. Also, I'm thinking about buying myself a little birthday gift. I'm going to try to hunt down maybe a bigger, more expansive ping pong ball machine.
That
up in my game.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, it does. Like upgrading your ping pong ball yep. machine.
Wasn't this one like $5,000?
It was $1,500. Paid for itself. And
how
then
much
so,
bigger?
And it came broken, right?
Yeah, it came broken from China. That's why we're boycotting. That's why I'm boycotting the Olympics.
Have you ever thought about the fact that that probably has a microphone inside of it?
Yeah. So they know that we're boycotting the Olympics. Good.
Free Tibet. We took our eye off the ball of Tibet, by the way. Everyone's talking about Taiwan.
Yeah.
No one's talking about Tibet. We had concerts for them and everything. The Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Free Tibet, bitch.
Let me just live, Hank. I'm going to look.
Okay.
I'm going to see if I could just make my entire corner a game show.
I would love to see like what your spending breakdown is if you have one of those apps that categorizes things.
Yeah.
Into like, okay, meals, utilities, household items. Mm-hmm. Where does upgrading your ping pong ball lottery machine
it's a
fall?
Must.
How do you categorize
it's a,
that?
It's a need, not a
necessities.
Want.
Necessities.
Yes.
The ending song last episode was at Splice with the Weatherman. Yes, we are out of Take On Me remixes.
Oh, that was a planted question. Nice.
No, it was a real question someone sent in. I usually wouldn't answer it, but this is, you know, shout out to Sean Flaherty, Nick Roger, those kids. There's guys that have made a lot of the great to take on me remixes over the years.
Shout out.
Shout out to them. We have run out, you know.
Can you...
I've been recycling, though, but, you know.
For tonight's, can we push P?
No.
Why not? Is that... Are you not P?
I'm not P.
Is pushing P over?
Oh, yeah. The Cardinals tweeted pushing P, and then they got fucking trounced.
Oh, they did?
I found out about it on Friday.
KFC
and I was
did
like,
a one-minute man on
yeah,
it today.
I found out about it on Friday, and I was like, it's probably like 10 more hours.
Cardinals
are not
when
I find out, it's
P.
it. It's it. It's
KFC over. Did the video explaining it to like the non-people that were in on it, and that's kind of when it's like, once everyone's in on it.
Yeah, no, once no I find out, it's over.
I didn't even fully understand it. This is not a planned one. This is an FAQ that goes on in my head constantly for some reason on the daily recently, but can I fight Hank?
Yes.
I don't know why. I just really want to fight him for whatever reason. In my head, he has a very punchable voice. Thanks, guys.
A Philly fan?
Voice.
Philly fan?
Probably.
No, you know what? I'm going to say no. I think you have to earn the right to fight Hank.
Agreed.
For the right amount of money, yes.
Get your clout up.
Yeah, how many followers does he have?
I don't know. I just did a text message number.
Remember when Billy... like life goal was to fight Jake Paul and then he realized Jake Paul's actually kind of jacked and a really good fighter and then he just stopped talking about it.
There was a certain moment in time that it could have been eclipsed. That time is gone.
Jake Paul would have murdered you.
I think back in the Nate Robinson days there was a chance, but now he spent the last past year just only training.
Hey, look, I can't talk. You fought for my honor against Jose Canseco, but it's just...
I've been blogging.
Very funny.
Who's the guest you would want to return to the show that maybe it didn't go so great the first time around?
Good question.
I feel like there's a lot of Zoom ones we've done over the last year or so that we had to do them on Zoom because of COVID, but if it was in person, it could have been a lot better.
Yeah, I'd love to have like Rex Ryan in studio. I think that in the first one I thought went well.
Yeah.
But
Ooh, good question.
I'd have John Cena back in studio.
But if he
was in a good mental
again.
Headspace.
Yeah. Only if we're, yeah, a certain amount of time away from a big life event.
When you check into him like 8 hours before the interview.
Yeah. Has anything bad happened in the last week?
Let's see.
Who would you think, Hank? That we've like, it didn't go great.
I thought the Tim the Tatman interview was very average to below average, and if that was in person, there wasn't a click that I was hoping for, and I think it's there.
I loved him.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think if you guys did an interview in person, it would be a lot better and well received.
I've been watching a lot of Tim videos on YouTube recently. He's a very funny guy.
Very funny. And the interview was more, it came across as more of a generic type interview.
Yeah, like, tell us about your life. Tell us about video, which is honestly like something that we wanted to know about. But I would love, let's get Tim, put Tim on the bench with us.
Yeah.
Like, I would let him sit at the table.
What do you think, Billy?
Usain Bolt was good, but I feel
the
like
audio
was better.
Bad.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That was the one that first came to mind.
There's some that it's just like, that was, where. Like, I don't think I ever want Dak back on. Unless he was in person.
I disagree.
MVP?
Yeah.
If he was in person. And
I would
maybe,
do. I think anyone in person. I mean, Braxton Berry is a great example. Like,
yeah, no,
that
I agree
interview,
with that.
If it was on Zoom, it wouldn't have hit the same. I don't think it would have sucked.
I would have Miley Cyrus back on.
back on.
Yeah. She's, like, some people said it didn't go that great the first time. I think that she's a kind of misunderstood person.
Lawrence Taylor.
I'd love to have her back on.
I'd have Ryan Pace back on. Maybe change my question.
Exit interview?
Yeah.
Sup, G-O-T-Y, Cat, Bonk, F-T, Buffalo's Son, and the crew. When watching games with friends or family, they always ask me who I bet. Everyone knows I like to gamble, and they like to know which side I'm on, which is reasonable. But why every single time that I tell someone what team I bet on, do they ask how much money I put on it? Are they hoping to unichain me if it's too low? Are they ready to virtue signal that I have a gambling problem if it's too high? I'm a poor college student, and my average unit is $5. No unit shaming, safe space. And I've just gotten so annoyed at the question that I just don't respond to it anymore. What should I say when people ask how much I bet on a game?
Okay, so I think they're not trying to unit shame you. I think it's if you're with, it's two different cases. One is if you're with other gamblers, they might be trying to unit shame you, which no one should do. You bet within your means. You bet, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with. If it's with non-gamblers, I think they're just their curiosity of like, ooh, how much we got risking here is what really the question is. Like, how important is this? How invested should I get along with you? That's the question.
I also think that if you're watching it, if they're non-gamblers and they're watching with you, you're out at a bar, they want to know, okay, if you hit this bet, how many free shots should we expect you to pay for the table? They're already trying to tax your winnings.
Yes.
So if you say, like, I'm betting $50 on it, you win $50, they're expecting, like, next bucket is on you.
Yes, yes. But I think it's a normal – gambler to
it's
gambler.
Awkward, though. I agree. It's
yeah, no,
awkward.
No, no, no. The only time I ever ask is if someone says, I have a lot on this game. And then I'll be like – but also, I would never ask someone how much they have on a game – unless there's someone I know very well, because then my question is more like, is this a big game or a small game for you? That's the question I'm asking.
Yeah, it's helpful to know sometimes, like, if you're watching a game with somebody that you know has a shitload of money on
correct.
It, and you put a small amount of money on it. Like, for example, if we're watching a game on Sunday, I know that Dave has $250,000 on the line. I do not have $250,000. I'm making maybe what I think might be a big bet for myself. I know that I don't need to be pulling a Brandon Walker and running my mouth about it. So,
damn,
yeah.
Brandon got astray.
I love Brandon. By the way, Us for Chicago, taping it tonight for the crown. Hank, how do you feel about being ditched at the altar by Regs?
Regs?
Like Reagan. It's like Reagan.
He doesn't even acknowledge his real name.
No, I'm standing in solidarity with my man. I'm crossing out the E. I'm not even saying it because I feel so strongly about him leaving Hank.
I don't give a shit, to be honest. He can go. He can go eat a butt.
Nice.
That's my official, eat a butt.
That's my eat official that stance. Surely they won their most recent game that came out Tuesday night, right?
Surely.
There's no way they could have lost that. All right, Mary fuck kill, queso salsa guacamole.
Okay, for me, this is easy. I marry salsa. I fuck queso.
I'm the same.
Bonk.
And I kill guac.
I'm the same.
And I like guac, but bad guac is really bad.
And there's an important distinction in it, which I think we agree on. Queso has the highest ceiling, but in terms of like what you can go to home to every single night, it's salsa.
Also, salsa is more versatile than queso. I think you can put it on a variety of dishes.
Yes.
And if you're killing guac, you can still eat avocado.
Yeah.
But you just can't have guacamole sometimes.
All right, a couple more. On the 24-hour live stream last year, Billy cooked some terrible breakfast at 5 a.m., and watching him try to cook was hysterical. When are we getting some sort of Barstool cook-off to revisit that hilarious disaster?
We should do it again. We will. Let's do it again.
Did Russillo teach you how to make eggs?
No, he didn't yet, but the way I make eggs people have a problem with, I kind of make them like pancakes when I scramble them because I put the milk in, and then they kind of have that texture. Like pancakes.
Well, no, you burn. Outside.
It's a light crisp.
Yeah, you make
it's
them
a
like
golden
pancakes.
Finish.
We should do another cooking competition.
Yes,
though.
Just Billy versus no one. Just Billy versus the comment section. Billy, that would be funny.
Billy versus the smoke detector.
Yeah.
Speaking of competition, are you guys going to do the season long competition with a punishment again next year?
I'm down.
I mean, it'd have to be a punishment, but yeah, sure.
We could bring back the suit one. You remember we did the suit punishment?
Yeah.
What was that one for?
I think that was a gambling thing. It was me versus you. Speaking of, Hank, did you ever work out in your Muggsy jeans after you lost the Grand Prix?
Several times.
Okay.
Hmm.
I didn't know because I didn't see any video.
Really bad. I was almost dead.
Did you PT in the jeans?
I'll do it on video this week. Maybe next week.
It was a bet.
Maybe the week after. It was a bet.
But yeah, we would probably do something next year. I don't know.
I think the best way to do it would be loser can't watch the Super Bowl.
I mean, we have to do it for our job, though. That's kind
of... You can listen on the radio.
No, because then by like week 16, you'd be like, I really just love listening to Kevin Harlan on Westwood One.
I do. When the cat ran across
like,
the field.
That was pointless.
Loser has to fly to the Super Bowl, but the other way around the earth, longwise.
Oh, my God.
Where's the Super Bowl?
Is it Vegas? Nola. Arizona.
I thought it was New Orleans.
No, it's in Arizona.
So you got to fly
buses.
Over
we
Asia
do buses.
To get
oh my God.
To Arizona.
Oh, my God. We'll figure it out.
Greyhound
oh
bus.
All right, last one. What's up, Chad Cat, PFP, Honk, William, and Bubba Gump, and Marshmallow? What is the most absurd piece of false information that Billy has tried to convince you was true?
Good question. That Tom Brady has 36 playoff wins. What's that clip back, Billy? How's the hunt for the blue check mark going?
I think they deleted the tweet. Seriously. I swear because I wrote it down.
But you realize you told us, like you explained exactly where you slipped up. In your explanation, and then you were like, but I got to find who screwed me up. Because you're like, what time was the game? So you essentially said, I saw someone tweet 35, and then I added one.
No, what actually happened is I researched 36 wins, then I saw a tweet and saw what time it was posted, and I was like, was this before or after the game was over? To try to figure it out. But anyway.
You researched 36 wins?
I just Googled 36 Tom Brady, and it said that the Packers had 36 playoff wins.
I think...
what?
But, like, I was looking... There's a whole bunch of stuff. But someone had tweeted 36 wins.
How it went down. You won't just admit it.
There were multiple sources that said it was 36 wins, but they all deleted their tweets.
Yeah.
No, that's... Okay, never mind.
You looked...
It. Trust me, I...
You saw someone say, this is Tom Brady's 35th... playoff win, or Tom Brady's has 35 playoff wins, and you thought it happened before the game, and then you added one.
Right, at that moment when I was checking on it. But originally, someone had posted 36 wins.
Got it.
I think for me, it's Billy tried to convince me that Anthony Fauci and Mother Teresa were in cahoots together.
Mm.
And then the article that I found linked to a website that said that Mother Teresa was actually Anthony Fauci's mother. Like that was her son. And then Billy couldn't provide a source for it that didn't link to an article that was labeled under Satanism. So we fact-checked that one in real time.
The craziest thing Billy has tried to convince me of, it was probably when we were doing the keto diet, and What was the thing that you gave me that was not keto?
And then almonds it was like, or something. Almonds,
yeah, and then you're like, wait, almonds. Hold on, don't eat that. And then you came back, and you're like, all right, you're good to eat that. And it was just like, where'd you go to find that? That was peak Billy. I loved that Billy. That was great Billy. Oh, keto Billy.
I'm still mad about the fact that elephants don't see humans the way we see dogs. I'm never going to forget that. Because that made my day when Billy told us that as our fun fact of the day. That warmed my heart. I felt like I was just scrolling through the timeline of the dodo on Twitter.
Yes.
And then dogs, bro. And then Billy took that away from me.
I do want to go back on keto, Billy.
Ben Mintz is currently in ketosis.
He is?
Yes.
Wow.
He's been having the keto
breaking
flu.
News.
Have you been checking his piss?
Well, we're going to get to that, but I put him on straight keto. He's not allowed to eat anything else.
Mm-hmm.
He has a certain amount of meals, and he's probably going to be in ketosis by the time we test him.
Okay, so you haven't checked his keto levels yet, but he's going through the keto flu. Is it possible
he's showing signs.
Is it possible he just has COVID?
His breath stinks, and he's been lethargic.
Yeah, you might.
His breath stinks.
Are you smelling his breath?
He has the metallic smell of ketosis.
So are you going in, like, checking his breath?
No, he's been checking it.
I did love, yeah, like when we first did ketosis, that was a very funny moment in time when you were 18 and learning it as we went. And it was like you'd hand me something and I'd start to be like, wait, hold on one sec. And you'd run to your computer and then you'd run back. You're like, okay, you can eat that.
You know where he got that from, right? And so much comes into picture once you start listening to just a little bit of Joe Rogan to get an insight into Billy's brain. Joe Rogan had been on ketosis at the time, and he was like, you know what's a really good diet to help you out is just ketosis.
Oh.
It was literally he was just translating the Joe Rogan podcast into our ears.
I didn't actually listen to Joe Rogan until I started working on this podcast, because then I didn't have a podcast to listen to once I started working on this podcast, so that actually made me listen to more Joe Rogan.
Who do you like better? If Joe Rogan called you up today and asked you to have your exact same role on the Joe Rogan Experience,
no.
What do you do?
I wouldn't do that.
$10,000.
I would say take it.
No, it was a lot. It was a lot of fun listening to this.
That's
podcast
a live
in
your
the car.
That's like be your. That's live your best life though. Like that would be the best life.
No.
Yes.
No.
If you got to like be a scientist on Joe Rogan's staff.
Like live in his compound
in
Austin, Texas.
I'd make you take that job. I'd be like, Billy, you have to take this job. It would be like Good Will Hunting. Like
if I see you here tomorrow.
Yeah, the best part of my day is when I come in and I don't see you. I think for a second you're not going to be at your desk because you're going to be doing test tube studies for Joe Rogan in Austin.
Billy, your job would be like, okay, Billy, I need you to go out and I need you to bow hunt for me. And all you're responsible for is bringing meat to me tonight and then sitting in the background of a podcast and like injecting one fun fact in when you hear it.
That'd be like if they offered me the Price is Right host. I'd be like, sorry, guys. It's the one thing I'm going to take.
You would do that?
Yeah. It's the greatest game show of all time. Hmm. Incredible. You get to work like Drew Carey probably works like 20 days a year.
Well, it's like Pat Sajak on Wheel of Fortune. I think Wheel of Fortune's even easier because you tape I think you tape 3 days a month, and then you just go back.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Be incredible.
What about you, Jake? If you got offered a job,
well, we know.
Fucking sports business reporter, a part of my take.
Mm.
That's your dream job. That's the end of the line for you.
The Toledo Mud Hens could offer him play-by-play, and he'd be out the door.
You get play-by-play for the Yankees, but
I mean, you'd have to take that. If any of the four major sports offered you a play-by-play job, you'd have to take it, and I'd make you take it. Same thing. Same deal with Billy. I'd be like, you have to take it.
All right.
See ya. That's a fact.
Yeah.
It'd break my heart, but you got to do it.
We'll see.
What if they all unionized and went on strike, and they asked you to be a scab play-by-play guy for the New York Yankees? Do you cross the picket line?
It would depend.
Yeah, you would.
No, we'll see. I don't know.
And Hank, if Ben Simmons started a podcast and asked you to produce, I would make you go take it.
Fair enough.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Just every day talking about what he didn't do on a basketball
court. Like a resort company contacts me.
Yeah, that's true. I'd be like, no, sorry.
Yeah, we need a water slide tester.
A beach chair warmer.
You probably have enough followers on Instagram. Where you could probably just be a resort influencer where you go on vacations, post pictures of you in the water drinking a frozen concoction, and then that's your life.
It's crossed my mind.
Yeah. It crossed everyone's mind. Just own a bar, maybe a bowling alley in the Bahamas where everyone loves to bowl.
I'd own one of those like pedal boats that like cruises by people on the beach and hands out like pineapple drinks.
And cocaine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's for the record,
I'm not ever going to leave this show unless it's if I got a job offer to be like a train conductor. That'd be pretty cool.
All right. We'll see everyone on Friday.
You get to wear the hat. Are we not doing ping pong balls?
Oh, yeah.
88.
So many today, I forgot.
44.
6.
22. You know what?
Yeah, 22.
12. 12.
8, 8, 8.
Holy
shit, 60. I thought that was 69 for a second.
Second time.
60.
Love you guys.
Footballs are not actually made out of pigskin. But rather, beef bladder.
Talking away, though I don't know what I'm to say, I'm saying anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. Though I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shying away. Though I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me. Gone.